Good morning. And welcome to worship this morning, and we welcome all in Jesus' precious name. Just to go through the intimations, as usual, tea and coffee in the small hall after the service. Get time to be around for fellowship and friendship. Guild discussing this year's topic, the unexpected journeys, on Tuesday, 12th of February. I'm on holiday from the 14th for a week. So any matters can be referred to Scott Cameron, although Scott will be away at the end of the week, but I'll speak to Sandy so he'll know what the arrangements are. Prayer time, a reminder of the prayer time from 5 past 11 to 25 past 11 every Sunday. Just a time to be together before God and before the service. So please think about that. Tuesday at 10:30, coffee morning at High Kirk Halls. That's another great time to join with our friends here and share in some fellowship and a wee bit of worship as well. And a reminder of the three times chit-chat, the big breakfast blether on the 16th of February at Drossick Civic Centre. There's an email and a phone number there. If you want to go, please contact Richard Lynch on your own. There's no church sort of response. And next Sunday at 3 o'clock, a Songs of Praise service at Bonnie Leslie Court. And you're all welcome. In fact, it would be good to see as many as possible just to share together in that time. As we approach God, let's do so by coming together, to worshipping together. All heaven declares, as the word is brought in. Earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. For he founded it on the seas and established it on the waters. Who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? The one who has clean hearts, clean hands and a pure heart, who does not trust in an idol or swear by a false god. They will receive blessings from the Lord and vindication from God their Saviour. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, O God of Jacob. Amen. Love divine, all love excelling. Jesus said, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them." Let's join our hearts together in prayer. Let's pray. Father, we come before you. To worship you, to glorify your name, to honour you. We come before you to love you. Not to get your love because you have loved us first, but actually to respond to you in love. We come, Lord, in adoration. We come lost in awe and wonder and praise and love. For Lord, you are our God. You are the God who is our creator, our provider. And Father, as we stumble through our lives trying to follow you, we know you to be the God who is faithful. To be always there. That you are holy. And you want us to be holy. You're righteous, and you make us righteous. None of these things, Lord, that we can be or do of ourselves, and so we declare our dependence upon you. Father, we need you. And so we bow before you. Father, you are love. You are all that we need. And Father, as we worship you this morning, as we come before you, we also acknowledge that there's times when we've not followed you, not been that transformed person you would have us be. And however that's turned out to be in our actions or our thoughts, or in the words that we've used, or the way we've been with others, Father, we come and we bring these things before you to say that we're sorry. And we give you thanks that Jesus, your Son, died on the cross, that he rose again. And doing all that, he bought our forgiveness, forgiveness for us. He took the curse, all the sinfulness on himself, and he brings forgiveness. So Lord, by your Spirit, present with us now, enable us to know what that forgiveness, I'd say, feels like, how it releases us to follow you closer, to love you more dearly. Hear us as we sum up our prayers. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever. Amen. As we come to our scripture, the author has stressed two signs of fellowship with God. One is faith in Christ and love of fellow Christians. The Holy Spirit inspires confession of who Christ really is. He's come from God to be truly human. The author has told his Christian readers, you are from God. So listen, each one, as we hear the reading read to us from 1 John 4 and at verse 7.
God's love and ours. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Saviour of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love. But perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command: anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister.
So as we've done before, we take time now to dwell in the word. So just to, as we hear the word read again for us, to take that time and in prayer to ask God by his Spirit to highlight something from that reading for you. Whether it's a word or a phrase, or maybe it's just a section or an idea, however it is, just let God be God in that, and we'll just take a few minutes. Again, I'm going to say, I'm not going to ask you to share with anyone else around you yet, but maybe that will come. But just to sit there for ourselves and to dwell.
God's love and ours. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Saviour of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love. But perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command: anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister.
Let us love one another, for love comes from God. Who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us.
He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love: not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Saviour of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command: anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister.
Remain seated. Just take a couple of minutes or so to share with you some of the stuff that would come out of the Presbytery Conference. I mentioned it a few weeks ago that there was this Presbytery Conference that was coming up. It was yesterday, and most of the congregations from the Presbytery were represented. I say most because Storm Eric prevented the folk from Arran joining us. And actually, it was, I suppose it was a good event at the end of the day. I mean, really, what we got to think about and what we're brought to realise is just where the church is, where the Church of Scotland is, and what's facing us as church. The elders from both sessions met in November and had to follow a remit from the General Assembly, instruction from Kirk Session, from Presbytery to meet as Kirk Sessions in conference and to look at the future. And all this comes under this radical 3-year plan that's supposed to be coming to the General Assembly in May this year. Because the 10-year strategic plan that was presented last May was rejected by the General Assembly in favour of coming up with something far more radical over 3 years. So part of what's happened, and I think I've mentioned this before, is before Christmas, before the end of the year, the church released that they had a special commission of individuals to look at the central structure of the church. So what we would refer to as 121, or them in Edinburgh, that central structure, there's a commission now being appointed to look at how that operates and how the structure of the church, actually how it physically all fits, and how it also needs to comply with charity law, but how to make that leaner and fitter. And really some of the process of that is, if we can take away some of the levels and the layers that are there and make some savings, it's money that could go to the local congregations for mission. So the idea is to try and streamline what we call the national church, the central part of the church, to actually feed out into the presbyteries and the congregations. There's also some discussion about presbyteries coming together. Can we become a much larger presbytery so that the work would be shared? Because we know there's fewer and fewer people to do the work. So that's the idea there as well. We had Jim Teasdale, who was the minister at the Rye St Margaret's. He's now in Eastwood in Glasgow. But he's the convener of the Presbytery Planning Task Group, which is part of Ministries Council. Basically, this group are responsible for overseeing all the presbytery plans. When a presbytery agrees their plan, they have to send it to the Presbytery Planning Task Group, who have to agree it, otherwise they're going to send it back, making various points. And if you want to change a plan, you have to make sure that they're agreeable to it as well. And part of that's an oversight that the process has been right. So we can't change a plan just by someone sitting thinking, that's not happening, I'll just change it and then that's it. Actually, whatever presbytery agrees, and the change has to go to this task group, you have to agree it as well. So Jim was speaking about various things around planning. He did mention that the mistake many of us make about the plan is, we call it a 10-year plan. Well, it does cover a 10-year period, but he's saying, of course, it has to be reviewed annually. So you have to keep looking at this plan. So that's a process that must go on. But as we look at congregations, what's clearly obvious is there's not the right number of people. We're losing people. So people, numbers are getting less. And there's also not enough ministers. I'm going to remind you, though, that Tom Allen said in his book, The Face of My Parish, he was bemoaned the fact in 1953 there was only 37 who had come into first year of the church colleges, teaching colleges, there was only 37. And he said, I'm told that what situation is going to get worse, and it has. Numbers that are coming through to probationary level are much less than that. There are now in excess of 258 vacancies in the Church of Scotland. So we kind of deal with that. So a number of people, I think this is right, maybe somebody can correct me, I think it is, the number of people have reduced greater than the number of ministers, which has reduced greater than the number of congregations. Okay? Sorry? I don't know, is it? I'm trying to remember that, Finlay, honestly. There we go. Finlay, thank you. Number of congregations have decreased the least. So, bottom line of that is, that's not sustainable. And so they're looking now, we need to look at how congregations can exist, how we can make ministry happen across the way, and there's lots of different experiments happening with hub ministries where you get a group of people who will cover a number of congregations. There's other ways of looking at it as well, but as we look at it, these things, what's important is what they're going to look at in a church, a congregation, is it missional? Is the building fit for purpose? Is it in the right place? Is it of good condition? How are the congregation? And you know, all these things will come in. There's more than that they're just looking at. But these are the things we need to be aware of. How this all works out at the end, I don't know. What I do know is God still calls people to be with him. One of the points that was made is actually there's hope and there's movement and there's growth in the church. We might not always see it, but actually, and the elders will remember that when Al McWilliam came in September last year, he was talking about the fact that he's now partly employed by Glasgow Presbytery, and he's doing a church planting experience in Rickasey in Glasgow. And actually, when he was here, he was saying they had just started to meet again as a group of people, as a church in Rickasey, and there hadn't been a service of any kind there for 2 years, and they've started a Sunday tea time service which includes a meal. So there's all sorts of things going on. There's all things we need to look at. I just want to share that with you. There was a minister there who said that part of the problem is communication. He's absolutely right. He'd said when he became a minister a few years ago, the General Assembly had just agreed that ministers should get 2 days off. And he said the big problem with that is nobody told the congregations. Nobody told the congregations. So with that in mind, not that I'm telling you I've got 2 days off, maybe I am backhandedly, but with that in mind, I'm sharing this that was discussed yesterday, so we're aware of it, and we know we need to look at something. It means we cannot stay the same. That's clear. And so how that comes out, well, we'll just have to keep praying and keep in God, because he will direct us. He is the one who is of hope. He is the one who is faithful for us, and he'll direct us. He'll give us a spirit of wisdom. So we'll just focus on him. Let's continue with our offering. Let's join our hearts, our minds together in prayer as we pray. The presbytery points, or the prayer points, will be on the screen. I'm not going to go through them, but let's just come together in prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray for your church. Lord, as we experience a place where we've not been before, may we know your faithfulness. May we know your presence. May we know your love. Father, we come and give to you a token of all that you've given us. And as we do that, Lord, we also present ourselves to you. We pray, Lord, that you would use us for the building up of your kingdom. That however we would be, you would transform us to where you want us to be. For you have a plan for each one of us, a plan to prosper. And so, Lord, we present ourselves to you. And Lord, as we pray for your world. And we pray for your people in this world. We pray for those who are persecuted because they confess the name of Jesus. We pray for those who are struggling because they're at the very end of the food chain. They're the ones that are really relying on folk to get food to them. Pray for those who are in refugee camps. And Lord, in silence we make our own prayers. Pray for those who are on our left, on our right, for those who are in front of us or behind us, for those who are seated above us or below us, for those in another part of the building. Lord, we pray your Spirit would touch each one at the very point of their need. Hear these prayers offered in the precious name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We stand to worship again. Amazing grace, my chains are gone. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we turn to you. I ask you now for the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus by your Spirit to rest upon every mind in this place, in order that the perception of what I say will be heard, received, applied as you intend. Cleanse my tongue that I will be your transparent instrument to say everything that needs to be said, nothing that doesn't need to be said. And I pray that it will be very, very clear, and that this will bring great honour and glory to your name. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I was watching a wee bit of a clip of a soldier, American Marine, who was fighting in Afghanistan. He was with another Marine on a rooftop. They were engaged in live fire with Taliban. And at one point during this exchange, there was a grenade that appeared between the two Marines. And this man threw himself on top of the grenade, which then exploded. But he saved his colleague. He survived that. He survived that. And he was awarded the Medal of Honour for such a deed. You know, and I think, you know, that's one of the closest examples that we ever have of seeing love, God's love, in action. And when we start to look at how we are in life and how we are as Christians, we actually need to think through what love means. Last week, I spoke about the kind of lie of God loves me just as I am. Well, he does love us as we are, but of course he wants to transform us into what he would have us be. So he doesn't want to leave us where we are, and that's the problem with God loves me just as I am. It leaves us exactly as we are, and that's not what God wants, because he wants the best for us. He has plans for us to prosper. He wants us to be much more than we can ever be, and he does that for us. And today I think the wee lie we need to think about is this one. Love is all you need. All you need is love. There was a song written about that. Think about it. Love is all you need. All you need is love. And you know, so much of this world is now based on that phrase. All you need is love. Love is all you need. And that nothing else matters, because as long as people love each other, it's okay. And again, it's almost another excuse for anything goes, as long as we love each other. Anything goes. And actually, that's not what we know. And we have to be aware that when we talk to each other and actually speak about things, we don't get hooked up in that. Because actually what we have to look at is the God who is love. It's God's love that we focus on. That's our definition of love, is who God is. And he's the one who gave his only son for us. But as you start to look at the scripture, and maybe I'll mention some of the bits that God spoke to you about, I don't know. All I can tell you is that the things that God says to me that he wants me to speak about. But when we look at verse 7, let's love one another. Actually, God there, the author there just sets that in place. Let's love one another. That's the call. If we look at the commandments, that's the call, to love one another, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength, all your soul, and to love your neighbour as yourself. The love commandments. Jesus said these were the two greatest commandments. So to love one another. And you know, for me, anything that we do in mission, anything we do in connecting with other people is all about love. It's all about God's love. It's all about us following the commandments. Because we're loving our neighbour. We're loving God. When I share with the school, when I do the assemblies, I try and show as much as possible of God's love. To speak about that. And I'll tell them what I believe. And I've even said, I would just love you to be able to believe this as well. But it's what I believe, and I believe this, I would say, from this book here, from the Bible. I believe that this is all about God's love and how God loves us and how he wants us to be and what he wants to make us. So I believe that. And for me, that's what mission is about. It's actually telling people about God's love. We might meet a need. Actually, the other part of it is telling them of God's love. Whether we use words or whether we use actions, that's how we go out there and love our neighbour. So this reading starts off, this bit of scripture starts off, let's love one another. And there it is in the commandments. The love commands to love God and to love your neighbour. And then in verse 9, this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is how God showed his love among us. So here right away in the beginning of this verse, the author's saying, so this is it. This is how God showed his love among us. And it's setting us up to hear the next bit. This is it. This is how it is set up. And he says, he sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. So here's Jesus. God has sent Jesus, one and only Son, to live among us, to be among us in the world so we might live through him. So when we see what Jesus has done, when we see what he's doing, when we see the example he's given us, that's how we might live through him. That we might connect with him, that we might be his followers, his disciples, and be as Christ-like as we can be. There's what God wants of us. But this is how God showed his love among us. And then in verse 10, that same kind of style appears. This is love. This is love. Not that we love God. So it's not about us. It's not about our love. It's not how we love God. The next bit is all about this is love. That God loved us and sent his Son as atoning sacrifice for our sins. So God loved us. And he gave Jesus Christ as the atoning sacrifice for our sins. So at that point, Jesus lives a life in the world. Is betrayed, is tried, is found guilty, is crucified, and on the cross he takes the burden of all our sins so that we can be at one with God. The atoning sacrifice. He is a sacrifice of all sacrifices. The whole need for burnt offerings from the Old Testament disappeared at that moment. God no longer wants that. Because he gave his only Son. He gave of himself to be the sacrifice. So in receiving forgiveness of being with him, we did not need to do anything, and we do not need to do anything to turn to him. He's given it all. And you know, there are people who would describe this idea with atoning sacrifice as ghastly theology. I have to tell you, I can't see how it can be any other way from what I understand God has done. He loves us so much that he gave Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for us, who took the curse of being hung on a tree. He took our curse and turned it into a blessing. This is love. This is God's love. God's love for his people. And then in verse 13, so this is how we know that we live in him and he in us. So again, it's that this is how we know. This is love. This is how God showed. This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He's given us of his Spirit. And we know that too from Scripture, that when we believe, we receive his Spirit. When we believe, we receive his Spirit. This is God giving of himself for each one of us. Not that we have to do anything to deserve it, because we don't deserve it, because we've spent our lives running from him, demanding from him. But God all the time has given of himself for each one of us. And in verse 16, it's just that simple. God is love. God is love. We don't need to look anywhere else. We turn to Scripture. It's there. God is love. As we read through Scripture and we see God's repeated attempts to bring us to him again. As we desire our own way, God is love. And he gave Jesus Christ for each one of us, so that those who believe would not perish but have eternal life. And the mistake that we make, or the mistake we can make, is we get this all confused and focus on love and try and make love God. God is love, but love is not God. So when we say all you need is love, actually what we need is God's love. That's the focus for us, and it's defined in Scripture. And you know, just as a loving parent does, that love brings us to a point of discipline as well, where the father will discipline his child, but he does it in love. Many times, here's something people will equate with. How many times do you tell someone to tidy their room? I remember my mum going at me. I also remember bringing out from under the bed the half-drunk coffee mug, which was mouldy. I remember the threats that she had with my hockey stick to get under my bed. And if I have to clear it out, she says, well, we all know the next bit is, it's going out. Parental love. And God comes at us with parental love, and he does that because he loves us, and he wants us to be able to follow his ways, because that's why he's called us and that's why he's given Jesus Christ. God is love, and he comes and he disciplines us. He rebukes us. He keeps us on track. And you know, it's up to us to respond to that. Because we've seen in the Old Testament, particularly there's times when God will go, okay, I love you so much, I'm going to let you go. I know what happens next, but I love you so much, this is what you want, so I'm going to let you have that. And then the people come back to him. God is love, but love is not God. We need to focus on God is love. And as we go forward, as we go forward from this place, as we go forward, thinking about that conference yesterday, thinking about what's going to happen at the General Assembly, what's already happened, what's going to happen in the future, you know, we need to focus on God's love. That's what we need to do. Just focus on God's love. He'll give us a wisdom. He'll give us the direction. He'll give us what it is that we need to be His people in this place, however that looks. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you are our God and that you love us. We thank you for the times when it's a real joy to know you, and it seems really good because everything's going well. We thank you too for the times when you rebuke us and we feel the whole thing about being brought up short in our thinking and our actions. And Lord, we pray that we would be able to focus on you and know you and to love you much more. In Jesus' name, amen. The King of love, my shepherd is. Let's stand to worship. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. In fact, this is love for God, to keep his commands. So go now to love and to serve the Lord who loves you first and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with each one, all whom you love, all whom you struggle to love now, and until Jesus comes again, and then forevermore. Peace to you. We bless you now in the name of the Lord. As we sing this, let's look at each other. Share that peace.